The Lord again, church. If we could stand, it's so great to have Brother Jonathan Falmer here, outgoing missionary to Sweden. And he shared this morning, and we talked a little bit about this in our pre-service prayer. But sometimes we think when we hear missionaries and we talk about the Lord not coming back until every nation, every kindred, every tongue. Sometimes when we think about that, we think about remote islands of native people that have been untouched by humanity for centuries. And we think about reaching those type of people. But we never think about Sweden, do we? That, Lord, that all of the Swedish people in the country of Sweden need a voice. And there is no church there. There is one young, single lady that is holding together two congregations that ministering to them. Brother and Sister Falmer have been called to the country of Sweden, unchurched, to plant a church. That shouldn't be so. It just shouldn't be so. And we're going to help you, Brother Falmer. We want to bless you tonight. We're going to be taking an offering up for him in a few minutes after he gives his presentation. But let's welcome Brother Falmer. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Let's continue clapping unto Jesus tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. God, you are so good. You are so good. Hallelujah, Lord. We magnify your name tonight, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much again for making me feel so welcome. Please be seated this evening. And, you know, I didn't take the opportunity to do this morning, but I want to say thank you so much to all who have made this opportunity possible. First of all, to your pastor and his wife, Brother and Sister Grant. Amen. Bishop and Bishop's wife, and I want to give them honor this evening. All the various ministers that have been so kind, helping me on the amen, the pathway here, and Brother Rossling, Sister Waters, amen. Is that, did I get that right? You know, amen. I just type her email, you know, and she's Brittany. You know, I start typing Brittany, and there it pops up. There it is. And so, amen. But it's so good. Thank you for all of your kindness and your consideration of me, and thank you for making me feel welcome. I really appreciate that. Here today. Amen. What a wonderful church. Amen. You get to be a part of. Amen. I know we're part of the church at large. What a great local church you get to be a part of. And a church that loves the lost, a church that loves people, a church that loves God, a church where you feel his presence. Amen. All of these things are things not to be taken for granted. And I assure you that not everybody is as engaged and excited about what we're a part of as you are. Amen. And so I want to applaud you on that today, and you should feel very, very favored. Amen. I do want to once again sort of take time, especially for those who weren't here this morning, and share a little bit about my family, kind of where we are, where we came from, where we're going. And I don't want to be redundant, but you know what? There's a lot of people here tonight that weren't here this morning. So praise the Lord. My family and I, we are missionaries to Sweden. And, you know, again, as I shared this morning, that was not always the case. I was actually in Scotland for 11 years. I went there as a 22-year-old single guy to go to Bible college for 1 year and 1 year alone, okay? And then 1 year turned into 2 years, 2 years turned into 11 years. I met my wife there. Both my kids were born there. And to be honest, we thought that we were going to spend the rest of our lives there. We loved the UK. We loved the ministry platform that we got to be a part of. We were in a Bible college. We'd done some church planning. I'd done some pastoring kind of around in Ireland and in the north of Scotland. And I loved what we were a part of. I just loved it. And we had planned to spend the rest of our lives there. And in the midst of that planning process and taking steps in that direction for full appointment to the United Kingdom, God shifted our focus entirely to a country that we, to that point, had no involvement with, really, no long-term involvement, no need or desire, really, to go there. Again, as I shared this morning, you know, I don't know what you think about when you think about missionaries getting their calling. You know, I think of these powerful moments in people's lives, you know, these fantastic missionary stories. But at the very least, you don't think about people really, you know, I don't want to say despising, but like being completely averse to going somewhere, all right? Like we read about that, we call that person Jonah, right? You know, like, I wanted nothing to do with Sweden, you know? And you know, but there was a Swedish lady that came to visit the Bible college, and you know, and she kept getting after me about going to the nation of Sweden and helping them over there. And again, I had zero interest in fulfilling that request. You know, while I, you know, perhaps was honored that she felt that way, I wanted nothing to do with what she was talking about, all right? I wanted nothing to do with it. Almost, again, and maybe, I don't know, the crowd's changed tonight. I don't know if there's anybody from Delaware here. But that's what I considered Sweden, was Delaware. Amen. I did. Amen. It's funny twice, I know. Because it's true. There's nobody here going to their travel agent tomorrow. Maybe you will now. I don't know. Maybe I'm helping Delaware out. I have no idea. Maybe they're like, sign me up. I'm going, you know, but I didn't want to go there. And you know, and this mother of one of our students, this Swedish woman, you know, came to pray for me one day when I was sick. And, you know, I assume she prayed for my healing, you know, but she definitely prayed for me to go to Sweden. And I just, honestly, I wish that would have been my moment sometimes, you know, that would have been my time, my opportunity, and God would have paved the path, because that would have made more sense to me, if I'm honest, here today, for to begin at that point in time to feel things for Sweden and say, I'm ready to go, send me, oh God, you know, that would have made more sense to me in my mind, the way I thought about these things. But you know what, God has a way of doing what he wants to do, and it's just good to be surrendered to him, amen, to be willing to do what he says to do when he says to do it. You know, our pathway is, logically, it made no sense to me whatsoever. It's not the timing that I would have chosen. None of these things came together in that way that made sense. But since we've said yes, it's just like things are coming together, just people coming out of the woodwork saying, we've been praying for Sweden, we've been praying for Sweden. People starting around the time that God was dealing with us about going to Sweden, coming out and telling us, this is when I began praying for Sweden, and God is working all these things. And so if God is working all of these things together, at this very moment, amen, then we know that God is involved. And if God is involved, amen, then I'm excited to be a part of what he's doing. Amen. Praise God. And again, for the sake of those who weren't here this morning, Sweden is this wonderful, wonderful place, okay? I come to find out after I looked into it a little bit and after I put away my biases and my prejudices and whatever else, I found out that Sweden is actually pretty cool, all right? They gave us IKEA. Wonderful place. Amen. Amen. I appreciate you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know what y'all are paying her, but amen. Praise the Lord. And that whole family, you just go on the road with us. That would be awesome. Amen. I'll feel better about myself. Amen. Praise God. But, you know, they gave us IKEA. They gave us H&M. They gave us Volvo. And they gave us Swedish fish. Praise the Lord. It's true. It's true. I didn't think that was true. Amen. I thought they were from New Jersey. All right. Seriously. Certainly not Delaware. Can anything good come out of Delaware? No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just kidding. I'm going to get in trouble here one of these days. Amen. You know, Swedish meatballs? Hey, come on now. Now, I know I'm in a Pentecostal church when I say Swedish meatballs and the crowd goes wild. Hallelujah. Amen. That's awesome. But you know what? They're really not from Sweden, I found out. They're from Turkey. Yeah. That's... Amen. I'm dispelling myths and bringing truth and all kind of other things tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's, and so Sweden is just the three-point seatbelt as well. One of the most life-changing, life-saving things the world has ever known came out of Sweden. And we're all grateful for that life-saving device. Praise God. And I'll give the same challenge I gave to the crowd this morning. If a seatbelt has saved your life, think about what your life is worth. And give it back to save somebody in Sweden. Amen. Praise God. It got a little quiet this time. See, this is the reaction I'm used to, Pastor. When I say, they're like, oh man, we already took up the offering, bro. Like, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And one of my all-time favorite things about Sweden is Cinnamon Bun Day. All right. This is a national holiday in Sweden. Amen. They take one day and celebrate the existence of this wonderful cinnamon pastry, amen, that we all know and love called the cinnamon bun. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? How do you not love a country who takes an entire day to celebrate the cinnamon bun? I mean, come on. I am excited. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm excited about that. And here's the deal. All right, here's what we're going to do. All right. I'm going to let your pastor know when Cinnamon Bun Day is, and y'all need to plan a missions trip around Cinnamon Bun Day. Now, you might get some traction on that, Pastor. We're going to celebrate Cinnamon Bun Day and to do missions work, but, amen, come ready to eat, praise the Lord. And so, amen. But as joking aside, Sweden is also the home of over 10 million people and growing. Stockholm is the capital city, and it's the fastest growing city in all of Europe. And this is largely to do, I didn't talk about this really this morning, but this is largely to do with immigration or from immigration from around the world. A lot of refugees coming in from different parts of the world, particularly Syria most recently, but they take in refugees from all over the world. Sweden is a very welcoming country in that regard. They want to keep their doors open and try to help people in that way. But their population is exploding, and their population dynamics are changing rapidly in this country. And so while that creates some issues on the ground there in Sweden, it also creates a lot of opportunity. Amen. The mission field is growing more and more diverse in Sweden. The mission field is growing more and more expansive. People are coming looking for hope. They're coming looking for a future. They're coming looking for all these things that they're not finding in their own country under regimes. Amen. And I won't go into all those kind of things tonight, but they're coming looking for something better in the nation of Sweden, different places around Europe and in the Western world. And so while sometimes the problems could seem to overshadow the opportunity, I'm looking today, amen, at the souls of these people, amen, the souls of those that are coming, and I want God to use us when we go there to be a part of what he's wanting to do amongst that people group. Because here's the deal, folks. In some of their countries that they're coming from, they can be killed because of what we can preach to them freely in the nation of Sweden. They can convert, amen, and not be killed. Praise God. And you know what? That sounds awesome to me. I'm ready to see some people who believe in one God come to the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm ready to see some people who have been hopeless for a long time under oppressive regimes come and find hope in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm ready for this. Amen. And I want to see God do it. And so but that's just, Stockholm is the fastest growing city, and all their cities are growing rapidly, but that's the fastest. Aside from all these things, and despite all these things being the case, we have only, as your pastor just mentioned, only two apostolic churches in the entire country. And when I say apostolic, I mean apostolic, okay? There's no WPF or PAW or ALJC or any other brand of apostolic church there except the two United Pentecostal churches that we have there right now, one in Stockholm and one 3.5 hours north in a little town called Falun. Altogether, there might be 40 people in church in this nation. Several of them are move-ins, okay? And by and large, the Swedish nation is unreached and untouched. And I just can't wrap my head around that. I cannot believe that that is God's will. Just in general, I can't believe that's God's will, but I also know that it's not God's will because God has called my wife and I to be a part of what he wants to do in this nation. Amen. For such a time as this. Amen. Can you feel the excitement, amen, and the urgency, praise God, of what God is wanting to do in this hour through his church? Church, I know when we look around us, it might look hopeless. I know when we look around us, it might look barren. It might look like the world is going a completely different direction than what it says and what we believe the Word of God says. But no, church, we are standing in the midst of a generation that is hungry for God, whether we see it or whether we believe it or not. Amen. We are standing in the midst of a generation who is needing the Word of the Lord. And I'm excited to be a part of that. And I want to challenge you to be a part of that as well. Amen. Truly, the harvest is white. Amen. It truly is white. It's white here, amen, in Madison, the surrounding areas. It is white in the United States of America, and it is white in the nation of Sweden. And God is challenging us, church, amen, to believe what he said and what he promised my wife and I, but I believe he would give that promise to you tonight as well. From Ezekiel 37, when we look at the impossible situations, when we look at the deadness that surrounds us, God asks us the question, what can I do in the midst of this situation? What can I do through your life? What can I do, amen, if I'm allowed to do that? I wish somebody, amen, would release God, amen, from the prison of your incapabilities, hallelujah, from the prison of the things that you can't accomplish on your own and see what God would do, amen, in this place, amen. And so we're believing today that God wants to do the life changing, that he wants to speak life into the midst of this nation. I don't know how God is going to bring it together, and I am not worried about that. Amen. I will pray. I will seek. I will work. I will fast. I will do the things, amen, that I can do. But God must give the increase, and I'm looking forward to it tonight. And so we want to ask you to join us again. I ask you to join us in prayer. Please pray for Sweden. Please pray for us, amen, our family, as we go to the nation of Sweden. We need your prayers. We covet them today because I understand that some things really just do not come but by prayer and fasting. They just don't. It just isn't going to happen. We will not move the mountains without prayer and fasting. We can't do it with just our faith. We can't do it with just our vigor or our belief or our fervor or our zeal or our excitement, whatever it is. Amen. We can't accomplish everything that we can accomplish in the kingdom of God through those things. Some things that just aren't going to happen without prayer and fasting. Daniel found that out, sister. Amen. Wherever there she is. Amen. He understood that and he come to knew that. Amen. In his life. And so we covet your prayers. We also are asking for you to help us to finish this project or get close to it tonight, this language studies project, so we can preach to the nation of Sweden in their own language. Amen. I want to preach in Swedish. So next time I come here, I will preach through an interpreter. Hallelujah. Amen. If you ever let me back. Hallelujah. Amen. I got one more sermon. Hallelujah. Amen. And so... next time, it'll be through an interpreter, and it'll be twice as long. Isn't that exciting? Amen. I don't know if that'll work, though. We might have to work something out, Pastor. I'll have to preach into the second service or something. I don't know. Amen. But I thank you tonight. And all jokes aside, seriously, thank you so much for what you have given to us. Thank you so much for your prayers already. I feel so welcomed in this church, and I feel like you're behind us. And that means so much to us. And so thank you. And my kids say thank you as well. Look at them. Aren't they precious? Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor, won't you come?
If our ushers could come. One thing that I think the reason Brother Falmer's feels so much at home is because I can't preach without talking about food. And you're talking about a National Cinnabon Day. We're on it. They need about $5,500, if I'm not mistaken, to complete their language studies. And everything begins at this point for them because they do not know the Swedish language. So we want to be able to take and help them. I'd like to see us be able to raise enough funds to get them into language school as soon as they can. And that will help them speed things up as far as their process. But if we could just go ahead and pass the offering here. And I'm so thankful to have Brother Fulmer here this weekend to be able to share with us. And we're going to go ahead and let him come back. He's going to preach to us for a short time. We're going to have an altar call, and God's going to move. And the power of the Holy Ghost is here. So God bless you, Brother Fulmer.
Amen. And just in case you were wondering what we were conferring about there, I was asking how long I could keep you tonight. I like you so much that I don't want to leave. I'm just... Praise God. Hey, that's right. Well, we'll have to try your cinnamon buns first. You know, and I knew Pastor and I were getting along there. You see, and I don't want to sound like a... I don't want to, you know, steal from one of your great Wisconsin boys, but Aaron Soto preached General Conference a couple years ago, or last year, I guess it was. He preached one of the services, and, you know, he spoke right to me. Amen. He didn't know it, but he said that food was his love language. And what's really funny about that is that I was sitting on a row with about, I don't know, five or six of my students from Harvest Bible College, and as soon as he said that, they all went like this. Because they knew he was talking about me. Amen. And, you know, there's so many things I could say about Wisconsin, but I don't want to do that this evening. I want to talk about the word of the Lord. Amen. And tonight I come and I feel a bit like a one-string guitar, if I'm honest. Because I want to speak to you again about the harvest. Now, I'm speaking about something completely, speaking a totally different message from this morning, but I want to speak in the same vein to those that are here this evening. And I want to preach specifically about the church's great priority. And if we could just turn quickly to Matthew chapter 6. Again, we're just going to read one portion of Scripture here in the very beginning. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verse number 33. It says this, Jesus speaking, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much tonight. God, we're praying that your spirit will be upon us once again. Thank you for, God, filling this atmosphere. God, thank you for already speaking to us, oh God, through, God, the prophecy that went forth earlier. God, thank you so much, oh God, for allowing us again to be, God, here together. Thank you for what we've celebrated tonight, God, the new birth, oh God, and those that are coming to life in you, Father. I thank you for that tonight. And Lord, as I preach your word this evening, I pray for your anointing, I pray for your direction, your help here this evening, God, that the hearts and minds of men and women in this place today, God, could be challenged once again, Lord, to be engaged, God, in your work. I thank you for it tonight, in Jesus' name. For the next few moments, I want to preach to you a message called The Church's Great Priority. Now, just at the outset here, I want to tell you what it is. The church's priority is to be a witness to a lost world. And I must fit into that somehow, some way. See, everybody has priorities. Everybody has priorities. Everyone. A priority is what one declares is most important at any given time. Our priorities are revealed in the things that we do. You see, because our priorities become our pursuits, and our pursuits, what we produce. If you want to know what somebody cares about, look at what they do. If you want to know what somebody cares about, look at what they spend their money on, what they spend their time on. Amen. Look at what they produce. You see, in the kingdom of God, words don't matter much. Amen. But fruit does. We can declare our desire to be a part of God's kingdom. We can declare our desire to be a part of His work. But if our life isn't producing these things, then our priorities are misaligned. You see, the struggle is not in having priorities. It's in choosing the right ones and then keeping them. Anybody felt that struggle? Now, we're approaching the end of the year where all these things are going to become so very important. They're going to be right in our faces. We're going to be looking at them so very clearly. We're going to reassess our lives. Amen. And that old song, "So It's Christmas, and What Have You Done?" Amen. Will be ringing in our ears as we're shopping for our children and our loved ones throughout Von Mars or wherever else it is that you, maybe you don't shop there. I don't know. Amen. Target probably, or IKEA perhaps. I don't know. Amen. Whatever it might be. And these things will be ringing true in our lives, and we're going to reassess and we're going to look at our lives. And most of us, many of us perhaps, are going to feel disappointed about what has been produced. I hope that's not you tonight. Amen. But you see, the struggle is not in having the right priorities. It's in choosing the right ones and then keeping them. You see, there are a lot of voices in the world that are vying and they're struggling to tell us what our priorities ought to be. As a matter of fact, there is an intense battle going on for our priorities. And if the busier life gets, the more important right priorities become. We're living in a busy, busy, busy world. Amen. And it's not getting any slower. It's only getting faster. And as things begin to fly at us at a more rapid pace, the knowing what's most important becomes even greater of a priority. See, if we don't choose, someone else will. And that's a simple fact of the matter. If we don't choose, somebody else will choose and decide for us. And you see, Jesus, He understood the value of setting right priorities. I love this about Him. He was a first things first kind of guy. Jesus was. And we see this in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 33. You see, Jesus, He had a way of summing up so much of what other people take pages to say. And you're like, this, there's some preachers that can learn a few lessons from Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, Jesus had a way of summing up things that preachers would take 45 minutes to say, and He would say them in a short, concise statement. In one of these instances, a lot of religious people, you see, they came to listen to Jesus, and they judged what He said. That's pretty stressful, by the way. Amen. They judged what he had to say. And on one of these occasions, a scribe, someone who made copies of the law in Jesus' day, that was his job. How would you like that job? Amen. You just sit down and you make copy after copy of the law of Moses. You do that day in, day out. That is your job. By hand, by the way. If you make a mistake, amen, you have to throw it away. If you, every time you write the name of God in the scripture, you have to break your pencil or your pen or whatever and throw that away. It is a long, laborious process. But some people sign up to do that. And one of these scribes, somebody who knows the law, they came to ask Jesus a question about the law. And we find that in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 33. And it's simply this. It says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, 'Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He, and to love Him with all the heart and with all the soul and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and with to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifice.'" Amen. Jesus took the entirety of the law and He summed it up in two small commandments. Isn't that awesome? Love God, love your neighbor. Powerful stuff. Jesus did this when it came to setting our priorities as well. You see, Jesus as our Creator and now living as a man understood something about us. If our priority is us, it cannot be Him. And He spoke these words in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. Now, this is in the middle of a sermon that is called the Sermon on the Mount. And as Jesus spoke these words, he spoke a lot of different teachings. He spoke on forgiveness. He spoke on loving our enemies. He spoke on giving. He taught on prayer. He taught on fasting. He taught on all these wonderful, wonderful things. But right in the middle of it all, he kind of sums it up for us in verses 25 through 33. You see, it says this. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus understands some stuff about us. He took everything that we can care about. Come on. He took the basic necessities of life. He took all the things that we worry about on a daily basis. What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to eat today? What am I going to put on today? What am I going to drink? Where am I going to live? How am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to do these things? Where am I going to get the opportunity? Where am I going to find a pathway? And Jesus says, stop worrying about all those things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus knew that we could not, amen, if our priority was us, it could not be him. You see, he knows man, the Bible says. It says he knows what's in man. And he understands this about us. The gravitational pull of humanity is usward. It's usward. It's about me. It's all about me. It's all about myself. It's all about my family. Our priorities, however, must be his priorities. And Jesus is letting us in on a little secret. If we seek his, we'll never have to worry about ours. If we seek his, we'll never have to worry about ours. If our priorities aren't about someone else, self will inevitably fill the priority vacuum. What did we say earlier? If we don't choose, somebody else will. And guess who's going to choose? Amen. It's going to be all about you. Jesus did a priority adjustment one more time before he ascended to heaven. And as a church, Christ gave us a priority. As he stood with his disciples on the Mount of Olives outside of Jerusalem, he had already gone to the cross, he had already raised again from the dead, and he walked with them for 40 days, and he appeared to them at various times, and he proved that he had risen again from the dead. And as he's standing with them, and he's about to ascend into heaven, he gives the priority one more time. Now, it's given in so many different instances in the Gospels. It's called the Great Commission. He speaks to his disciples. He says that you're going to preach the gospel to every creature. You're going to go into all the world and preach to everybody. Go everywhere and make disciples of all nations. It was his last words to his church. But Acts reveals some stuff about us as his people. You see, the disciples who are reveling in the fact that their Savior has risen, that they know this one, they've banked their life on this one, and he's come through for them. He's their conquering king. He's their Messiah. Their hopes are not misplaced. They look at him on this mount, and it says, being assembled together in verse number 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, Jesus, not that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said this, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Did you catch what just happened there? Jesus has spent 3 years teaching his disciples what his kingdom is about. He's gone to the cross. He's risen again from the dead. The veil in the temple has been torn. He's obliterated the law. He's crucified, amen, our sins to the cross. He's gained victory for us. And the disciples are looking at Jesus, their risen Savior, and they said, are you going to restore the kingdom now? You see what just happened? From the very beginning, we were in danger of getting our priorities wrong. You see, the disciples looked at Jesus and said, our kingdom. But Jesus says, my kingdom. Two things we can learn from this. Number one, Christ has a clear vision for his church. Christ is not confused as to what he wants his church to be about right now. Amen. Glory is coming. Amen. Heaven is coming. We will rule and reign with him. Amen. In heaven and on the new earth. Praise God. And I'm looking forward to that day. But now, amen. Now we are working as his church on earth. So Christ has a clear vision that for his church. Number two, we're in danger of misplacing it. And the danger is as real today as it ever has been. Now, again, I feel really kind of weird preaching this in a church that is so awesome and so dynamic and so powerful and so engaged in the harvest that is around them, but I know you're not perfect. No church is immune to misplaced priorities. No church member, I should say, is immune to misplaced priorities. We're still in danger of misplacing it, and the danger is still very real today. You see, a priority is what is most important. And just like the apostles, we are still in danger of trying to build our own kingdoms. What does this look like? It looks like our building, our programs, our departments, our events. And all of these things are great, but they are not what is most important. You see, without Christ's priority, what's most important, none of these things really matter. You see, without people, why do we need programs? Amen. Christ didn't die. I'm going to offend somebody right now. But Christ didn't die for your program. He didn't die for your department. He didn't die for the little part of the building that you're responsible for. Amen. He didn't die for any of those things. Amen. He didn't die for our events. He didn't die for angels say, what? He didn't die for that. No, he died that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Praise God. He died so that a dead world might live. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Praise God. That is why Christ came. You see, people are the mission of the church from beginning to the end. Hallelujah. People are what drove Christ to the cross. People were the joy that was set before him as he approached the suffering and the shame that was before him. Amen. People are the reason for the cross, and the people are the reason, church, why we are still here. That will never change. People are the reason why Christ has not come back to earth. People are the reason why we have this little space of time before Jesus returns to take us up into heaven. It's people. It's always, always, always people. Amen. This is the mission of the church, but it's got individual implications as well. You see, when I understand the church's priority on earth, I begin to understand the priority for my being here. Amen. For my being present, for my being involved. You see, the promise of power comes with a purpose. Jesus didn't give us the Holy Ghost just so we could have good church. He didn't give us the Spirit just so we could feel good about ourselves and get ready for Monday morning. Come on. Amen. He didn't give us the Spirit of God so we can run the aisles and all these other kinds of things and feel better about who we are. No, he gave us the power to be his witnesses. He was very clear when he gave the mission. He said, for one purpose, hallelujah. Amen. You are left on this earth and you shall receive power from on high to become what? My witnesses. In a lost and dying world. It says, for by one Spirit we were baptized into one body. Amen. Whose body? Christ's body. And if we're baptized in the Christ body, we're baptized in Christ's purpose. And he came to seek and to save that which is lost in church. I wonder, amen, if I'm in an apostolic church today that wants to see somebody saved, hallelujah, amen, at their job or their workplace or their school or whatever it might be, hallelujah. Amen. I want to be a part of what Christ is a part of. Amen. I want to be a part of his mission. I want to be a part, amen, of saving the lost and seeing lives change. I want to be a part. I want my heart to beat with the things that his heart beats with. Amen. Hallelujah. It's got to happen in us, church. It's got to become our passion. It's got to become our craving. It's got to become the thing that fulfills us, that we seek after to be a part of his kingdom and a part of his work. You see, as a part of the body of Christ, I've got a part to play in the mission of Christ. And it's easy enough for us to agree here today that it's the church's mission to reach the lost. But it's important that we understand that that means it's my priority as well. Amen. Why? Who's the church? Amen. Who's the church? We're the church. Amen. It's not the church's mission and then my mission. It's not this local church's mission and then my mission. It's not their ministry and then my ministry. No, it's the church's ministry. Praise God. It is not the church's mission. The two are absolutely inseparable. And as God baptizes us individually into his body, he baptizes us unto a purpose. And when we understand this, it will change our motivation for being here as well. Amen. It changes the importance, but it'll change our motivation as well. We come to church, it's not a God vending machine any longer. Come on, I spent a long time in church. I spent a long time showing up looking for my fix. I spent a long time coming to the altar hoping that I could cry and feel better about my week. Come on. And you know what? God, he wants us to have those moments. He wants us to have those things, but sometimes God wants us to move beyond that. Amen. And move into a life of ministry and a life, amen, of power. It's not a God vending machine. We're not consumers or spectators. It's not about making me happy. You want to know if this is your priority or not? When you leave church, judge whether that service was good or I'm not really happy about the way things went tonight. Praise God. But you know what? If your priority is his kingdom, amen, it's not about making me happy. It's not about me. Amen. It also changes the importance of my being present. You see, I'm here to help others. I'm here to be equipped, to be a witness. I'm here, amen, to make a difference. I'm not here for my fix, but I'm here for an equipping for an eternal work. Praise God. Amen. My priorities become my pursuits, and my pursuits what I produce. And if I want to help produce the kind of church that Christ desires, it all begins with my priorities. And our reward comes when we go to heaven, and Christ is preparing our mansion that we might live joyful in his presence in the most indescribable glory known to man. But while we're here, we're called to work while it is yet day. Amen. For night is coming when no man can work. There is a day coming when this thing will all be over, and those that are unrighteous, Jesus will say, let them be unrighteous still. This will end someday, church. And God desires his house to be full, and you're a part of that. No, you might not be here every weekend at evangelism or outreach, but you can play your part in reaching your world. This is our priority. It is what's most important, and it's God's priority. Amen. God's priority must become our pursuit. Now, I want to close tonight with this, if you want to stand. I want to ask you this question. Is God's priority for his church my priority personally? Only you can answer that. And if that's the case, how am I helping others be mobilized for the kingdom or to come into the kingdom? Now, we start thinking like this, it can be kind of daunting. It can be kind of intimidating. Isn't that right? Where do you even begin? You see, but nobody can do everything. Nobody can do it all. Amen. But everybody can do something here tonight. And the idea of having to go it alone can be daunting, but we belong to a body. Amen. And we can do it together. And in that vein this evening, I want to ask, I know this might be a little bit different, but I want to ask everybody tonight to come to the altar. I want to ask everybody, amen. I know it's a tight space, but we'll do what we can. Is this okay? Amen. God's priority for his church is all of our priority. Amen. It's all of our purpose. It's all of our mission. Amen. And that mission, we're in this. We are in this together. Amen. And so I wonder today if you could just maybe, you know, if it's appropriate, if you can lay your hand on the one that's standing next to you on their shoulder, or take the hand of a loved one, whatever it might be. Amen. And I want us to begin to pray this evening. Again, we're approaching this time of the year where we're thinking about this stuff. We've got an opportunity, amen, to make this our priority. But it's not just about you. It's about that person that's standing next to you. It's about the person that you're praying for even now. And I want you to pray this way for them. God, won't you baptize them as we prayed this morning. God, won't you baptize them with your spirit, with boldness. God, won't you give them an authority. God, won't you give them a confidence in you that they never had before. God, but all the distractions, God, all the things that have come in and tried to hinder, God, what you want to do through their lives in the past, God, I want to speak to those things right now. Amen. If you want to prophesy to them, if God leads you to do that, do it. God, we speak to those things, God, the distractions, God, the noise, God, from the world around us, God. We're praying right now, God, that you dispel those things. God, won't you let something settle in upon my brother, my sister, God, my wife, my husband, my children right now, God, my friend. Hallelujah, God. I want you baptized in the day, oh God, into your purpose. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we all have people around us. God, we all have people that we know, Lord, that we've passed by simply because we didn't feel like we had the time, God. Simply because we didn't feel like we could make it a priority, God. But tonight, God, we're declaring, Lord, we want to be a part of your kingdom. We want to be a part of your purpose, God. God, realign our lives tonight. God, realign, oh God, our vision. God, realign, oh God, our priorities this evening, oh God. And let them, God, let them surround, oh God, those things that you have declared are most important. God, your kingdom first. God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done, oh God, in my life, oh God, in my family. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I want to be more engaged than ever. God, I want to be more, God, focused than ever. God, I want to be more a part of your kingdom than ever, oh God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, as you pray, just let that expectancy begin to rise in your heart. God wants to use you. Amen. God wants to use you this year. God wants to do something great through your life. God wants to do something great through your family. He wants to take you to the next place, amen, that you desire to go. Hallelujah. There are lives that can be changed by the prayers that are prayed here tonight. Hallelujah. There are people in your life, even now, maybe God is bringing them to your mind. Why don't you cry out to God for them right now? Why don't you intercede for them right now? God, why don't you touch them, God? God, open up the opportunity, oh Lord, and I walk through that door, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Jesus, you're the center. Spirit.